Good evening. Welcome to a early primetime edition of 49ers After Dark. We're your host, Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor. It's free agency and things are moving very fast, so we'll just jump right into it. This morning, it looked like the Niners had signed linebacker Eric Kendricks, and we were going to talk about the merits and concerns of this move. Forget it. He decided he would rather sign with the Dallas Cowboys. What a traitor. He was a 49er for a few hours. No, he never was. What do you think of this news? The Niners, the guy they had earmarked to replace Dre Greenlaw, their first choice, I'm assuming, is a Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean, this just kind of highlights that these are the things that happen. And even though things are reported or presumably done, technically, nothing is official until today, and things are submitted through the league office. Players can change their mind. Teams can change their mind. Things can happen. And unfortunately, Kendricks decided that the Dallas Cowboys were a better fit for him. And now the 49ers are looking to probably add somebody similar. I mean, everybody wanted Azeez Al-Shaair here, Grant, and Azeez Al-Shaair never made sense. He's young. He wanted a multi-year deal. He's a little bit more expensive. The 49ers timeline is they need a guy to fill in for maybe a year, half a year until Greenlaw's back, and hopefully Greenlaw's back and fully healthy. So a linebacker that's a little bit older, one-year deal type of thing, always made sense. I really like the Kendricks signing, but the Kendricks signing is no more, and he is now a Dallas Cowboy, so you can hate him freely, 49ers fans.
So I guess the first question is, how do the Niners pivot? What is plan B here?
Man, I don't know. I'd have to relook at the free agents that are left. I mean, I know a lot of people have talked about Devin White. I don't know. He's a little bit younger, so I don't know if he would fit the timeline. Maybe he's looking for a one-year deal, career resurgence.
Devin White, Devin Bush, Denzel Perryman, Oren Burks. Ooh, Zach Cunningham.
Perryman. How old's Perryman?
Juan Alexander. How about Quan?
No, he just got hurt again last year. He stays hurt. So No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Perryman might be the guy.
Perryman.
There we go.
There you go.
Sounds like a good fit.
Okay, so that's or a draft pick. It could end up being their first round pick, considering all the work they've done on their defensive line.
Well, it could be a blessing in disguise though, Grant, because you were at training camp. Tell me if I'm off my rocker. I was only there for 5 days. I could not believe how good I thought. I mean, Jalen Graham looked like a really, really good player. Like he was going to be, he's promising young player. He was an ex-safety, converted to linebacker. We know the 49ers do this with their linebackers. These guys always end up popping. So why not give these young guys a shot? And maybe this forces their hand on it. Graham was the only guy that could consistently cover during the one-on-one drills. Out of corners, safeties, linebackers, he was the only one that could hold his own consistently. And it's very hard to do that because you've basically got half a field to work with, and the receivers can run any route that they want. They can do two-way goes, whatever. And he was holding his own against guys like Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, he shut down a couple times. So, yeah, I mean, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, and him or Winters or somebody else will get their shot.
It's pretty diabolical on the Cowboys part because they allow the Niners to do all the negotiation. You work out some type of a deal with Kendricks, and then what they could do is wait for Schefter to announce it, call Kendricks' agent and say, is that official yet? Because we'll make you the same exact offer, but your client will make a lot more money in Dallas. What do you say?
No stadium.
How do you beat that? That's unfair. Yeah. I mean, I would do the same thing. I got no allegiances here. I'm a free agent. I was thinking about being a Niner for a second and a half. Don't know much about Santa Clara. Seems cool. Now I'm going to Dallas. Sorry.
Well, can we also point this out? Was this not one of Staley's guys? So, I mean, it's not necessarily an indictment on Staley, but it doesn't look
Staley
great.
Discount.
Yeah, I mean, Staley likely was the reason that he was coming. Or that they kicked the tires on him initially. Ow. And now he just spurned his old head coach. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't look the best, I guess.
Well, who's the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys? Mike Zimmer. And he was Eric Kendricks' coach for a long time. though.
That's true.
Multiple. That's a good point. It just seems to me that the Niners wanted Kendricks, thought they had Kendricks, and now they don't. And it's embarrassing. I guess that's my final point here on the Kendricks story. Like, good for Kendricks for getting the best deal for him. Good for the Cowboys. And maybe this doesn't really matter. He's an older linebacker and Dre Greenlaw will come back and whatever. But this is just kind of embarrassing. Like, you're the 49ers. You were the team that almost won the Super Bowl. And you got played in front of everyone. I mean, we'll let it slide this one time. But if it happens again, we're going to have to say something.
We're going to have to call you out.
Yeah, really. On Twitter, we're going to at you, 49ers.
That's when it gets serious.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, real talk.
So Eric Kendricks, not a 49er. Maybe it'll be Fred Warner and a couple of second year red shirts at linebacker, or maybe they'll get Denzel Perryman, or they'll draft. I could see him drafting a linebacker with that first round pick. A few days ago, I was adamant that it was going to be a defensive tackle. Before that, I was certain it was going to be a right tackle. Now I'm like, well, their linebacker group, other than Fred Warner, is, that's what it is.
I wouldn't be a fan of a linebacker with that first pick. I think that would be a mistake.
But you could get Reuben Foster with that pick.
Well played.
They did Thanks. It once.
Well played.
Would they do it again? I mean, you could trade down. You could get a really, really good linebacker. Actually, I don't know anything about the linebackers in this draft. I should start doing my homework.
It's a lot of work to do. I mean, it really is. Study film, and it's so much work that goes in.
Can't Rich just do it for us and tell us what to think? Shout out to Rich. So, yeah, let's see what the good people in the chat think about Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks signed just to lose in the first round.
Yeah, great. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Is this offseason moving the way you expected it would for the 49ers, or has it been surprising to you? I got to say, for me, it's been very surprising, but I don't want to influence your answer. So you go first and forget that I said that.
No, it is actually very surprising, but it's kind of what I had hoped for, from the sense that one thing that we talked about, I think it was last week, Grant, we talked about the strategy of the 49ers and how up to this point it had been signing a bunch of younger players that were ascending, but they were for the first time reaching a crossroads with a bunch of older players that are on big time deals that are probably on the decline. And are they willing to be cutthroat? We didn't know the answer to that. And I think now we do. Eric Armstead is no longer a part of this team. Kyle Juszczyk was approached to take a pay cut. I believe if he wouldn't have taken that pay cut, they probably would have let him go as well. So this is something that we're starting to see from the 49ers that, hey, you know what? They are willing to let guys go that you wouldn't necessarily expect. And that's why it's surprising. I don't know that it's surprising from the guys that they signed. They haven't signed a huge name. I know that the 49er fans are looking for this gigantic name to come to the 49ers and sign the way that it's always been in the past. They've done a good job, I believe, of filling out the roster and trying to make things shake. But the biggest surprise is the approach to their current players and asking them to take pay cuts. And then if they are not willing to do so, it's like, all right, you're out of here. So that, I have to say, is a major surprise. I had hoped that they would be shrewd when it came down to these things. I didn't necessarily expect it. And so it is surprising.
Here's where I'm coming from. I like that answer. One, I'm surprised that, maybe I'm not surprised that they went all in with defense. And we'll talk a little bit more about the fixation on defense on this team. But I guess what surprised me, or what I was looking at, is I always wanted to know what Adam Peters did. He was like the legend on this team. And everyone assumed that he was really good at his job. I mean, because he has a great reputation. He just got hired as the Commanders general manager. And I want to know, like, what is the Adam Peters effect? What's going to happen without him? And we don't really know, but seemed like the first thing that the Adam Peterless front office, head by John Lynch, tried to do was get Eric Armstead to take a pay cut. And he didn't. And then I just don't think that the plan A for this team this offseason was to June 1st cut Eric Armstead. I just don't. It's messy. It's not super helpful. And they had to really scramble to replace him. To me, I'm guessing, I think they thought he'd go for it. And he didn't. And then they had to make the best of it. And maybe that's the best move long term. Maybe he's going to miss a bunch of games next year. And it's like ripping off the Band-Aid. But it feels like their first big decision may have not gone the way they thought it would. And then today they tried to sign a linebacker to replace Dre Greenlaw. Important move. And that didn't work out. I don't know. I could imagine Adam Peters is in Washington giggling a little bit like, what happens when I'm not around, huh? I mean, maybe he doesn't take pleasure in it. Maybe he's, you know, like, oh, that's too bad. But maybe that's the Adam Peters effect. Like, getting things done that you wanted to get done. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I do kind of get the feeling that the 49ers are missing on some of the guys that they've probably been chasing. And you never know. It's impossible. It's not like you hear, all you hear is where guys sign. You don't necessarily hear where they don't sign. But one thing that I can say is, here's what we do know that is factual. Eric Armstead, longtime 49er, unwilling to rework his deal, gone. Kendricks said that he was going to be a 49er. He's now a Dallas Cowboy. And what is it? Rayshon Jenkins visited the 49ers and the Seahawks. He chose the Seahawks. So those are factual things. And so if those things have happened and we know about them, then it's likely that they are missing out on some other players that they wanted, which is interesting because the 49ers are used to being kind of big brother to some of these other teams and getting probably whatever they wanted. And maybe that's not the case this year and they're having to work. Now, is that the Adam Peters effect? I can't say that it is or it isn't, but it is interesting that it's happening to a team that is really in win now mode about as much as you can be. And it doesn't bode well for a team that is trying to win a Super Bowl. And it's going to be a really tough climb to get back.
Yeah. I mean, they went out and got Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos, a respectable platoon to play defensive end. Both guys on 2-year deals, one guy making $9 million a year, the other guy making $10 million a year. So it's a sizable investment. Meanwhile, D'Amico Ryans, who runs the same scheme, same defense, gave a 2-year, $50 million deal, something like that, to Daniil Hunter. How did D'Amico get Daniil Hunter and the Niners didn't? What's the difference between those two deals? I'm sure someone can explain it to me, but it seems like you got two guys for 19 when you got the other team got one guy for 24. I'll take Daniil Hunter. How did that happen?
Yeah, I think the 49ers, you'd have to throw in Elliott into that deal as well. I mean, really, they got those three for the price of Daniil Hunter, right? I know. I do understand it. But I also think that the 49ers defense was at its best when it had crazy depth. And that's probably the approach that they're looking to go. Now, I also think that they probably did kick the tires on Daniil Hunter. I don't know that they expected the price to be $25 million. I personally expected around $20 million. But then Grenard signed day one and it was $20 million. Mm. At that point, you pretty much knew that Daniil Hunter was going to take a lot more than that. And that's what happened. So I'm also curious to see, where does Eric Armstead go? I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to a team that's competing with the 49ers in the NFC. Now, the Texans do make sense, but if he ends up in Detroit or the Rams, would you be shocked? I wouldn't.
I'd be a little wary of signing Eric Armstead. You might, give him a real thorough physical pause, because are you sure you know what you're getting at this point of his career? I don't know.
It's going to be a 1-year incentive laden deal, I would imagine. Yeah, I bet you it's going to be like $8 million guaranteed and heavily incentivized, would be my guess, on games played.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to say, I am surprised that the Niners haven't added a single player to their offense yet. We'll talk about that more in depth later. But again, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, because Kyle made it pretty clear after the Super Bowl, the offense was not the reason they lost the Super Bowl, and defense was. So,
well, they've also got Kyle Juszczyk, which is, I mean, he's so important that, you know, you can't even talk about getting rid of him. Otherwise, people freak out. So why would you add anything?
Yeah, I mean, his motion before the snap is everything. This whole team would fall apart if he didn't go in motion before the snap.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. I guess I never thought about it like that. Yeah.
Because a lot of people think football is about, you know, talent. It's not. It's about pre-snap motion.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that, but I'm explaining football to you. You thought it's about which team is better? No, it's about which team goes in motion more before the snap with a guy who doesn't get the ball. Yeah. And the thing about the Niners is he's the only guy who could do that. No one else could go in motion because it's really hard to move from here to there without the ball. It's hard.
Well, and he doesn't even play 50% of the snaps, but when you're going in motion as much as he is, you're going to need to take every other play off. So it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be hydrated. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Juszczyk goes in motion, all eyes are on him because why would you look at Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, or Christian or George Kittle? So he really has that effect. He's a weapon. Okay.
He is.
So I'm not
surprised. One catch a game. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you just don't know when that catch is going to come, and that's what's so scary about it.
Not even. And that's what makes him even more. He had 14 catches in 17 games last year, so that's why he's so deadly. Because, you know, he may not even get the ball. And that's what the Niners want you to think.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Okay, let's do some sleeper picks because the Warriors play in 10 minutes. I want to get these picks in before the game starts. And people, if you're playing at home, the QR code at the bottom, promo code COHN, get that deposit match up to $500, get entered in a contest to win a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey before the Niners trade him tomorrow. Or, I mean, they're not going to trade him. But if they did, you would want to get in the contest now in case. All right. So Sleeper is giving away a Luka Doncic. He's on sale every once in a while. For the next 9 minutes, we could get 27.5 points. Think he'll hit 27.5 more? Should we take that generous offer from Sleeper?
Let's take that. Let's take that.
Okay. Let's go Warriors. You got Chris Paul, Kuminga, Klay Thompson, Wiggins. Pods? I mean, he's getting a little more playing time with Curry out. 10.5 points. You think Pods can top 10.5? I kind of like that for Pods.
Where's he been at lately? They're so good at this.
In the last game,
every other. See, this is like roulette. When you get up to the roulette table and you see red 5 times in a row, and you think the chances of hitting black are higher, but it's not actually.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. So let's just put Pods away. I don't feel good about Pods right now. How about Chris Paul or Klay Thompson? Or Kuminga?
What's Klay at? 21 points. Ooh, I feel 21. Like that's.
Threes is a pretty good one. He's cleared it 3 games in a row. And he's getting more shots.
Let's go less. I feel like less is gonna hit. See, I just said exactly what I said, what you shouldn't do. I just did it.
Just bet on him to get
three. He's gonna get three.
Play? Oh, but he's my favorite. Okay.
He's going 3 for 7.
Kuminga.
More on points.
More on points.
Whoa. Points. What's the points, rebounds, and assists total?
Ooh, 26.5. Seems low.
Let's go more on that.
Well, that's Klay Thompson.
Just get
hold
there
on.
In points.
Oh, points, that's rebounds, and assists. I messed that up.
No.
I'm so good at this. Points, rebounds, and assists, 29.5 for Kuminga.
Let's go more. I feel good about it.
Yeah, because it's my money.
So much easier to bet with not your money.
Pods, and then we'll keep it at that.
Okay.
Assists. 4.5.
It's a tough number. Let's go more.
Okay.
It's so easy. This is so easy to do with not my money. Great.
All right, let's view the entry. Luka Doncic, more. Klay Thompson, less on the threes. Kuminga, more on the points, rebounds, and assists. And Pods, more on the assists. $10. Definitely going to win my first sleeper pick. Done. All right. Sorry.
I recommend that if you are to play sleeper, do it with not your money. Try to use Grant's money. It's way easier that way.
I would agree. But also, if you play and you, like, I just did 3 or 4, I had like 5 people. If you just do 2, much higher odds to win. And that way you're sort essentially, if you win, you get entered to win the signed Brandon Ayuk jersey and you didn't have to spend any money to get in the contest. And if you guys like the channel, using this promo code just for your first time, only once, really helps me out, and I would really appreciate it. So thank you very much. All right, back to football. The Niners have added 4 defensive linemen. They've also let 5 go. Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, Chase Young, Randy Gregory, Cleveland Farrell out. Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott in. Is the defensive line better?
I would say on paper, not necessarily, but I do think it is slightly better from the standpoint that you can't count on Eric Armstead to play. So it's almost like you got to remove him from the equation for half the season, probably.
Yeah.
So for me, I'll go yes. I'll go yes. I mean, Collins is a really good pass rusher from the interior. I think that's a massive thing. And what the 49ers have really done for the most part, outside of Floyd as far as age goes, and outside of Gross-Matos as far as injury goes, they've gotten healthier and younger across the board for the most part. That's a big deal, because one thing they haven't been able to do is rely on these players to stay healthy and contribute. Cleveland Farrell was hurt. Armstead was hurt. Kinlaw, that was his first actual healthy year this last year, really. So yeah, they've gotten younger and they've gotten presumably healthier. Hopefully that can translate to being a 49er. And so just based off the health alone, you have to say that they've gotten a little bit better. And I will say, probably the best bookend opposite of Bosa that they've had since D Ford, in my opinion, who also wasn't healthy. So I like Leonard Floyd being there. I think he's a really good player. He's almost a lock for 10 sacks, and having that opposite of Bosa is extremely helpful.
I'm tending to say, I'm usually the guy, the negative one, being like, I don't think they did. I'm kind of feeling like they know what's up with Armstead. And if they think that he needed to take a pay cut, I mean, they know the status of his foot and his knee better than anyone. And he really has missed a lot of time. And I don't know how much he's been really healthy the last 2 years. If he's been really healthy at all the last 2 years. So it's possible they cut him at the right time, or even maybe a little too late. And whatever team signs him is going to get a lot of nothing. And the Niners at least will have players on the field. In which case, yeah, the defensive line really, really has improved. If Eric Armstead could go play 15, 16 games for another team, the Niners are in trouble. Well, they lost the end of this. They didn't get better off of this deal. But for example, there was a report before the show started that the Texans and the Niners were sort of negotiating a player-for-player swap, Armstead for Malik Collins, and the Texans backed out. Why? Unless they found out something about Armstead's medical. I don't know. I'm curious. I really want to see what the market is for Armstead. I can't wait.
I think $17 million for Armstead is a lot of money. Well, basically $18 million is what it comes down to. It's the base salary that transfers over to the new team. Why would you do a straight across trade when you can get a draft pick and then get Armstead for half the price still on your team probably? Right? If he wants to be a Texan and you're like, listen, you're not worth $18 million. You know you're not worth $18 million. Shop around, come back. We'll give you your 8 plus incentives. We'll save $10 million. We'll trade Collins over to the 49ers. We'll get the 7th round pick. It's a win all the way around. Why do a straight across swap? Save money and get a pick. That's the way I see it.
And what's interesting, if he ends up
on
like,
the Texans, then that tells us a lot, actually. They just kind of got over on the 49ers is really what happened.
It'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, Armstead, he is worth a lot of money because he's a 3-down D tackle, but really most of his value is run defense. Mm-hmm. As a pass rusher, which is a more valuable skill in the NFL, I mean, run defense is an issue, but in terms of what you're paying for your pass rush on the D line. Malik Collins is arguably better. Like last year, he had 18 quarterback hits. Armstead hasn't had that many since 2019, and that's the most he ever had. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he's not better than Armstead. Maybe it's a wash, but it seems like what they have to do is replace Armstead's run defense, and we'll see if the combination of Collins and Elliott can get that done.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels that way, right? Like, you look at Elliott. Elliott's probably your run stuffer, and then Collins is your pass rusher. So you're going to replace Armstead that way. And roughly, those two combined are basically what you were going to pay Armstead this year. And then you look at the other side and it's like, okay, yeah, sure, they could have gotten Danielle Hunter, or they could go the depth route and get two guys to kind of play the Danielle Hunter role. One of them's your pure pass rusher, one of them's your run stopper. So it's almost like they've decided to just throw a lot out there and say, hey, we're going to go with specialists here and allow that to fill our needs. And we're also going to gain depth by doing so. Givens is also back. So really, you look at it, the defensive tackle room is pretty much solidified at this point. I mean, you might want to do another edge rusher or so, edge rusher or two, but you've got Kalia Davis, you've got Givens, you've got Collins, you've got Hargrave, and you've got Elliott. That's your five DTs. I mean, that's, you're pretty much there, right?
Yeah, and I was just thinking before this that the Niners would definitely spend their first round pick on a defensive tackle. I thought that's, you know, how much they valued Eric Armstead. But now it's funny. I feel like teams tell you what they think of a player without telling you. If they had traded up in round one to replace Eric Armstead, they're telling you, like, man, this is a massive hole we have to fill. They traded a seventh round pick for Malik Collins. They're essentially saying Armstead's not that hard to replace. There's a reason he needed to take a pay cut. And we're good. At least that's what they're projecting. Maybe they're in total scramble mode after Armstead pulled the rug out from under him. But right now, what they're projecting is, we don't need you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a shame. And I remember tweeting this out as soon as they did it last year. When they reworked Armstead's contract, I said it was a mistake. Because if they hadn't done that, then he would have been free and clear. He would have been a free agent this year, and you wouldn't have had to do any of this negotiations. You wouldn't have had to take these massive dead cap hits. It just would have been what it was. You could have tried to bring him back on a team-friendly deal, and if he said no, sayonara, he can go somewhere else. But now, because you did extend him to try to free up cap last year that ultimately you didn't end up using anyways, now you've put yourself in a situation where you're going to pay $10.5 million this year, $15.5 million next year to not even be on the team. That's crazy.
That's exactly what they did. They also renegotiated Trent Williams' deal and George Kittle's deal. And at the time, people were saying, aha, cap isn't real. Look at the Niners. They can do whatever they want. Let that be a lesson. Don't renegotiate contracts with players that are over 30. Don't do that.
It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. Don't do it at all. And now they're in a situation. Also, where is this money coming from? Can we talk about that? Because just restructuring Fred Warner, which I agreed with, my plan for this offseason was cut Juice, restructure Fred, restructure Charvarius Ward, guys that aren't 30, by the way. That's how you free up your money. When you draft your rookie class, that's going to be around $10 million. When you re-sign Brandon Ayuk, that's going to cover the rookie class signing, so you're good there. But in order to be a player in free agency, those were the moves that I thought they had to make. Well, they only ended up clearing about $1 million with Juszczyk, a little over $1 million. Because they got rid of Armstead, that gave you about 2.3. So that's close to the five, I guess, you would have got from cutting Juice when you combine those two. You did restructure Fred Warner. I would expect that they restructure Charvarius Ward here soon or extend him to try to free up more money. I hope that they don't go to Kittle. They don't go to Hargrave. They don't go to Trent Williams or any of those guys and ask them to restructure, because why? You've got Debo's another one. Do not mess with his contract. Please just let this thing ride out so you're not in a situation that you are with Eric Armstead this year. Those other guys, totally fine. I'm curious to see where this money's coming from. They are, I would imagine, they have to free up money somehow. And Charvarius Ward, I think, would be next.
You know who I blame for the 49ers renegotiating, restructuring Armstead's contract last year and putting him in this pickle? You know who I blame?
Who?
Adam Peters.
Oh, that's a good call.
100%.
Yeah.
Clearly his fault.
I agree.
This will be BNA Music 88 says, I guess Kendricks found out Staley was here.
Nice.
Dustin the Gale says, X factor of this season that is flying under the radar, how much Brock Purdy improves compared to last year? Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure. Chris Tellerico says, not that surprising that they invested in their top five defense and ignored their offense because their defense is why they lost the Super Bowl and scored 19 points and zero in the third. That's right. They scored zero in the third. Refugio Gomez says, I really like the moves and I think that we are younger and not as hurt. I wish we would have found Kyle Fuller or a guard.
Yeah, I like, by the way, I do like the moves. I still think the Armstead thing's a little baffling, but overall, I like what they're doing. Of course, I would have loved a big name free agent. who doesn't love the big name free agent to get excited about? But the way they filled things out, I have zero issue with, actually. But I don't know, man. I don't know if you can look at this team overall right now and say that they're for sure better than what they were to end the season last year. I don't know that you can say that. I can't. I also don't know that you can't say that. It's just going to be interesting to see how this season goes and how these new players contribute.
They're about the same. NFL equals Niners for life says linebacker Kendrick's going to Dallas. Ha 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 ha. Ezio Sanchez says coning and driving. That's against the law. Please be careful. Barry Baller 18 says he's been a member for 30 months. Thanks. Thanks, man.
What's up, Barry?
Jesse Thompson says, did y'all just hear the Kendrick's news? Yeah, we did. It's
we started the show with it, actually.
Michael McCann says, can SF trade a late pick now and a player to be named later? Debo after June 1st for a second or third in this draft, a player to be named later. They do that in other sports.
Yeah, I don't know that you can do that. But are we going to talk about the Debo thing?
We're going to talk about it right now.
Perfect.
There was a report this afternoon that the Ravens called the Niners checking on the availability of Debo Samuel in a trade. And they were told, no, at least not now. That's the wording of the report.
That's the key.
Yeah.
No, but that's for right now, which tells me they are potentially open to a June 1st trade. Not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you trade him post June 1st, you save a hell of a lot of money doing it that way. This might get interesting, man. If they... Okay, let's just go down this road for a minute. Let's assume they trade Debo Samuel. What does that tell you about their thoughts for this upcoming season? Does that tell you that they think the window is closed? Or, like, what would they have to get back for Debo Samuel for you to think, all right, they think that they're contenders this year and they're fully still all in? Because I think trading him for future picks tells you that they don't think they're...
Yeah, not that. A player.
Yeah.
A player on offense. Not a linebacker, not a defensive tackle, not a defensive end. A player on offense. So it could be another wide receiver. It could be a tight end. Not a running back.
Oh.
Not a fullback.
I got it.
An offensive lineman.
I got it.
Tell me.
Isaiah Likely in a future pick.
Make the case.
So Isaiah Likely, first of all, is showed to be a really, really good tight end. He's a pure route runner, wide receiver type. Little bit undersized as far as a pass catcher, but imagine pairing him up with George Kittle and then allowing him to eventually replace George Kittle in a year or two. And if you get the future draft pick, I think you can go two tight ends with Jennings out on one side, Ayuk out on the other. Obviously, you've got Kyle Juszczyk, your motion man, and then you've got your running stable. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. They can't do it for an offensive lineman because the Ravens literally got rid of their left guard, their right guard. They let them walk in free agency, and they just traded their right tackle, which tells me they're probably going to sign some people on the cheap, and they're going to draft offensive linemen pretty heavy in this year's draft. If that is the case, they're not going to trade another one away, so that can't be it. You probably aren't. There's no receivers there that makes sense. They're trying to upgrade at receiver, but Isaiah Likely is expendable because they've got their guy at tight end who was just hurt last year, and that allowed Isaiah Likely to shine. I think Likely in a pick is probably, if it were to happen, the most realistic trade that you're going to get out of the Ravens.
I like it. Lamar Jackson's quarterback rating when targeting Isaiah Likely last season, 147.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
He's pretty good. 30 catches, 8 starts. I like that. I mean, you can even it out with picks. But yeah, if you would want someone on a rookie deal, someone cheaper. I like that.
Well, think about that. I mean, you've got Kittle, you've got Likely, you've got Jennings. I mean, talk about third down and red zone options. And Ayuk, obviously, he's got extremely long arms. He's not the big body, but he's got long arms. I mean, you're giving yourself some big targets for Brock Purdy, who presumably, I mean, he's a little bit undersized. So he actually, there are times it does seem like he struggles to see over the line. You get him some guys that are 6'5 running out there, that makes things a little bit easier.
Another thing with Debo, like, he's still really good with the ball in his hands, but his route running has really deteriorated. It's not good. His effort without the ball has deteriorated. It's not good. He doesn't block. He's not much of a decoy. He just doesn't go in motion with the same pep that Kyle Juszczyk does. And if he's not really helping you without the ball, then get a tight end. Get someone who does block and does do something without the ball. That's what's nice about someone like Likely, as opposed to Debo, who's really not doing anything for you unless he has the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about... I mean, that's about as close athletically, as far as athletic profiles go, is Gronk and Hernandez. And we saw what that duo could do. I mean, that was a phenomenal tight end duo. That would be pretty scary, I think, for the rest of the league.
Reek Up Top says, Debo for Keaton Mitchell and Isaiah Likely.
I would love to have Keaton Mitchell. I would love to have Keaton
that
Mitchell.
Knee injury was nasty.
It was, but also he's very young. I think he'll probably come back. I think that they want to probably keep Keaton Mitchell, especially because they went and got Derrick Henry. I mean, talk about a 1-2 punch with Lamar back there. That's going to be a nightmare to stop.
Herbie Holland says, now that Brandon Staley and a couple of his defensive players are now 49ers, expect 63 to be hung on the Niners this year in a loss. Well, it's good because Eric Kendricks is gone, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. Good call. Mm. 63 is going to get hung on Dallas now.
Are the Niners going to make a big move? Mike Silver in particular said, don't be surprised if they're going to make a big move. They haven't really made one yet. I wouldn't consider Leonard Floyd or Malik Collins a big move. And when asked about it today on Twitter, Mike Silver said, they're not done. So what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that they're done. Again, the question becomes, what constitutes a big move? And what also can they do to free up cap space?
Cutting Armstead counted as a big move, but I don't think that's what he was talking about. Too.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No. So is Joey Bosa a big move? I think he's a big name. I think he's an exciting name. And if you get him for cheap, then that's probably constitutes a big move. I personally would not be a fan of it. I think he's way too injury prone. If you moved on from Eric Armstead, why would you then bring in Bosa to basically be injured and old? That doesn't make any sense. So, but I think that would constitute as a big move. And I think that there's a possibility that could happen. So that's a big move. We talked about Debo being moved after June 1st, no matter what he's traded for, that would be a big move. And I think that there's still a possibility that whatever their second round pick is, they're willing to move that, maybe for a corner, for the right team and the right move. And what I like about that is if you make that trade for a corner, maybe it's a corner that's, you know, on year two or year three and a good player, but not necessarily expensive, not a guy you have to sign right away. And so that allows you to afford him versus signing a big name free agent. So I will say, I think there is a big move to come, but I couldn't tell you where the hell it's going to come from. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. But I feel like there has to be something else that they're planning. At least I hope that there is. So I'm going to say, yes, they do make a big move of some sort, but they got to free up money somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I do think they're going to make a big move, and I think it's going to be a trade, and I think it's going to be one of their guys. I know they just released Eric Armstead. I don't think they're done. It could be Ayuk. It could be Debo. It could be either one of those guys. I'm not sure who it is.
Ayuk's very tradable right now as far as his salary goes. So
they could trade Ayuk before the draft. They could trade Debo after June 1. Those would be two big ones. I don't know.
I would say that constitutes a big move.
Those would be two big ones.
Do you think Joey Bosa constitutes a big move just because of his name? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Okay. I don't expect it now. I mean, it seems like they just signed two defensive linemen who are paid money to play. $10 million, $9 million a year. Those are guys who should be playing at least about 50% of the snaps each, I would think. Unless you just want really good depth.
Well, and what are the Chargers really going to do? Because they were the big part about Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa was like, oh my gosh, they're going to have to get rid of one of them so they can get under the cap. Well, they were able to do it and keep them both on the roster. Mm-hmm. Khalil Mack took a bit of a pay cut this year to help them out. I don't know where Bosa stands. Are they willing to cut Bosa? Are they trying to trade Bosa? Are they waiting until, June 1st to move on from Bosa, but they're going to try to trade him in the meantime and kind of slow play this? Or are they just willing to keep him and saying, hey, whatever, man. We got 2 years left on your deal, and so hopefully you can get healthy. And if you can, you're a big asset to this team. We were able to get under the cap anyways. we need defensive help because we're going to draft offense and try to help Herbert that way. I don't know. I'm curious to see what their move is with Bosa. I think it's entirely possible they keep him at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Chargers did the right thing getting rid of Mike Williams and keeping those two DNs if they can. I was surprised that Harbaugh would just gut his team like that. Like, he's trying to win now. He's not taking time.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing salary cap gymnastics over there. Trust me, there's a lot of things going on over there. And that's why I said year two for him, I thought would be probably the season. But to your point, I mean, when has Harbaugh ever waited a year to even get going? He's year one. He's always won, no matter where he's at. He's always improved teams significantly. Why would we expect at least his thought to be any different here? Not that he'll do it, but his thought is probably like, yeah, I can win here. I've got Herbert. I've got some of these good names on defense. We're good.
Dazzle wants to know if there's a big name cornerback that's realistic in a trade while still keeping Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I mean, Marco said it on your show. He said it to me in a text. I think Newsom's the one. That's the one, man. That's the one.
Newsom.
Mm-hmm.
Newsom or bust. All right, I got one more question for you. When the season ended, it was a painful loss for the faithful. But everyone told me in unison, okay, all right. Lost that game. It was rough. Another Super Bowl loss. But you know what? This year, the team is going to overhaul their offensive line finally. They got the picture. They're going to do it. Everyone said it. And then free agency came, and they overhauled their defensive line. Was that the right call? Like, for example, they could have got a new right tackle and kept Armstead. But they went the other way. They kept McKivitz and got two new defensive tackles. I mean, I was surprised. I thought this was the year, new guard, new right tackle, new right side of the right offensive line, not messing around anymore. Nope, still messing around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that's a little bit frustrating is there were some good depth pieces out there and possibly starter. Like Allegretti, it was the perfect guy. Mm-hmm. And you look at the deal he got with the Commanders, I mean, very affordable. Very affordable. And he could have potentially started here. At the very least, he was a great depth piece. He could play left or the right side, either way. But I really think, for me, when I look at the offensive line and I looked at the overhaul, I think I believe it started with the draft. And I'm curious to see what they do with pick 31. If they go past pick 31, and if they get, especially if they get past that second round pick and they haven't taken an offensive lineman, man, that's that you're talking about a team and a franchise and Kyle that have not learned their lesson and really seriously don't care about the offensive line. So I'm holding out hope that one or both of those picks are going to be offensive linemen. And they're going to figure it out that way. That's, to me, was the most realistic move. Offensive linemen traditionally can be very, very expensive. Maybe, still maybe, they bring in a guy like Mekhi Becton, something like that, to come in. And they can get him on the cheap. True. You know, this is the interesting thing about free agency, is there's always this initial wave. But now, basically, once we get past tomorrow or Friday, everything slows down. Players start visiting. They start getting a little bit more desperate because now teams are turning their sights to the draft. And a lot of times these players just sit and you start to look at it and you go, man, there's like three or four quality guys at most of these positions that I wouldn't mind having. And then they don't ever get signed. And you're kind of shocked. Like, how did that guy not find a team this year? So there's going to be guys out there. They could still make a move in free agency. It just isn't necessarily going to happen even before the draft. And I think, as far as that goes, we have to be patient. But if they don't draft a guy in round one or two, Grant, that's not good.
I also think maybe what they're thinking is with the defensive line in particular, the top level guys get paid a ton of money. Daniil Hunter gets Nick Bosa as they deserve. But the next tier of guys, I think this is where they saw Eric Armstead, they're affordable. You can get really good defensive tackles for $10 million a year. Niners just proved it. They just got three. Well, two. And Elliott's making five. So they got three guys essentially making $10 million a year. It's hard to find good offensive linemen, quality offensive linemen who are making less than $15, $16 million a year. Maybe that's just because there's fewer of them. But if you can you know, play offensive line without falling down, you're making $15, $16 million a year. Mike McGlinchey's making that kind of money. So the Rams wanted to make a big splash. They brought in Jonah Jackson, $16 million a year. Niners weren't willing to make an investment like that. They were looking for more cost-effective deals, and that means they'll have to get their offensive lineman in the draft. It's just they've been scared to play their rookies, man. They got to get over that. They did quite well with mid McGlinchey in the lineup as a rookie. They were okay.
They haven't re-signed Feliciano either, right? Or did I miss that somehow?
No.
Okay.
No.
Which is kind of crazy because it sounds like they, or at least sounded like they were going to make him a priority. It was the way that John Lynch was speaking. Oh, we love him. We love his versatility. Now, maybe they still make that happen, but I mean, they really haven't even brought back either. It doesn't necessarily have to be Feliciano, but like Allegretti would have been a great fit. Somebody that's a versatile guy that can play at least both guard spots, possibly even the center spot. You need those types of guys on your roster. So they haven't even filled the Feliciano role yet. And he was a part-time starter for them. So really at this point, the offensive line is probably worse, believe it or not, than what they ended the season as.
And what kills me is they cut Juszczyk's salary. It was going to be more than $7.5 million cap hit this year. Now it's a little below $6 million. Still a lot of money for a guy who blocks only on run plays. Like, what about
not even then, Grant? Do you realize that he was only in on 52% of the running snaps this year? 52%.
There you go. But I mean, when he is blocking, and I don't even know how valuable his blocking is at 33, but when he is blocking, it's literally only on running plays. Mm-hmm. Cool. They can run the ball without him. Juwan Jennings is a good blocker. They have a lot of good blockers, but what they need is someone who can block, who can protect the quarterback, and Juszczyk can't. But a guard could. A tackle could. A center. That's their job, and it's crazy that the Niners won't pay someone to do it. They're like, no. We want to run the ball. Okay. I guess.
Yeah, but you can't even run it to the right side. You're ambi runners.
That is so true. No, they're not ambi runners. They used to be
ambi is left. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're the Derek Zoolander of offenses. They can only go left.
Oh, man. But the offensive line, I didn't even think about that. The offensive line has actually gotten worse since the end of last year.
No. They brought back Ben Bartsch, who's ascending. Sorry, I don't mean to make fun of Ben Bartsch. He's probably watching at home being like, what?
Catching strays.
Sorry, man. Boxing Fan Times 4 says, what's the compensation in trading the Niners QC? Not a damn thing. Although more teams could probably benefit from me just...
How many content creators would it take? Like if we were to cut Grant or trade him, how many content creators would it take to fill his role? Like they got rid of Eric Armstead and it took two guys, right? Would it take two?
I'm so replaceable.
That's the real question.
I'm super replaceable. That's what I'm going to learn pretty soon. Going to get my salary slashed. Herbie Holland says, question for both of you. If Brock Purdy is the quarterback people keep trying to sell me, he is. Why hasn't Shanahan not built up the offensive line or playmakers on that side of the ball?
Hold on a second. If Brock Purdy's a quarterback, people was trying to tell me that he is. Why hasn't Shanahan not built up? Well, I mean, that's actually, I feel like you're kind of answering your own question. I mean, if he's that dude, you can't have everything perfect around him, right? Like, this is where it gets interesting for me. 49er fans get really, really mad when I talk about Brock Purdy. And my opinion of him is that he's not your franchise guy. Like, I wouldn't pay him the $50 or $60 million or whatever he's going to get. That's just me personally. Now, maybe this year he'll do something crazy and I'll change my mind. But for right now, I wouldn't do it if they had to. But then the flip side is, it's like, well, imagine how much better he would be with the offensive line. Okay, so are you willing to get rid of Ayuk or Debo to make that happen? Oh, no. I want to keep all the guys. Well, franchise guys, like, they don't have it perfect around them. And that's when you pay them $50 or $60 million, things aren't going to be perfect around them, and you're going to expect them to carry through. So which is it? Like, you can't expect everything to be perfect around him, but he's also a franchise guy. Like, you can't have it both ways. So that's where I get confused on the whole conversation. So I feel like you kind of answered your own question, Herbie. The fact that they aren't beefing up things over there, maybe that tells you they think he is a franchise guy and he can carry through.
Dustin the Gale says, what do you guys think has been their best free agency move so far?
Floyd. Free agency move. I'm not counting the trade.
Yeah, fair. Collins is a nice move too, though. He's a little bit younger.
Who? What'd you say?
Collins.
Oh, okay. Very good move.
Yeah, I know. You're
trade,
right.
You're so right. Technically, but it's technically a move, however you want to look at it. I think both are good. I like both of them.
Abu Marco 23 says 8 of 18 games played. Debo was a top 15 wide receiver. The rest, he disappeared and got injured 3 different times this year, twice in the playoffs. Move on now.
It just depends on what's coming back. I mean, we talked about the post June 1st. Likely, I'm in on it for sure.
Chris Tallarico says pretty sure you can trade before 6-1 with a post 6-1 designation. Debo has to be traded for an offensive player if he gets moved. Oh, has to. Well, okay. Trade with a post June 1 designation. Just like Armstead got released with a post June 1 designation.
I'm not gonna argue with you, Chris. You might be right on that. I didn't know that was a possibility. I thought that you can cut obviously post June. I didn't know you could trade post June and just kind of wait that long. But if that's the case, then yeah, maybe they could get something done. I don't know.
QC now a comedian. Kyle Shannon play rookies. Oh, you okay, QC? I'm trying.
Kyle Shanahan's going to have to start playing rookies, fish and chips, because these guys have to contribute early. I mean, they've missed out on so many high-end picks over the last few years in their draft because of the Trey Lance situation and then also trading for Christian McCaffrey. These guys are going to have to contribute early, and Kyle's going to have to get used to that. I mean, that's the new way.
Absolutely. That's our show for tonight. Niners after dark, although now that it's daylight savings time, it's like Niners at dusk. Which is kind of nice. Grant Cohn, Jesse Naylor, are you doing anything else tonight?
Yeah, in about an hour, I'll be live open mic night. So come over to Last Second Sports. It's your night to basically call in, carry the show, and tell me what it is that you want to talk about. Call me out on my opinions, whatever you want to do. It's your night. Call in. We'll see you in about an hour.
See you in an hour. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff. You guys.